Welcome to Healthy Family Connections, the podcast for families wanting out-of-the-box solutions to parenting and relationship challenges, with your host, psychotherapist and author of Ending the Parenting Control Battle, Neil D. Brown.
Marriage is a huge transition for anyone, but if a couple doesn't learn two essential skills, it can be a disaster. We'll talk about this and more on this week's podcast, The Two Skills Every Couple Needs to Learn. It's sponsored by Neil D. Brown, LCSW, and I'm your host, Neil D. Brown, and I'm here to help you get that enjoyable family you work for every day. And if you have a question you'd like me to address on this podcast, come on, don't be shy. We'll all benefit from your questions, so come on over to my website, neildbrown.com, and enter it there today. And while you're there, download a free copy of my Parental Burnout Recovery Guide. And please remember, this is an educational podcast. It is not a substitute for therapy when you need it. Well, this week, we're answering a question from Angie, and Angie is from Roseville, California. And Angie writes, I've been married 3 years to my husband, and I'm starting to feel hopeless about the marriage. He was wonderful when we were going out, but as soon as we married, he changed, and the thoughtful, caring person I was with turned into a self-centered guy who does what he wants without regard for the fact that he's married. To make matters worse, if I bring things up or talk about my needs, he gets angry and accuses me of not liking him or not able to be satisfied. I'd walk, but we have a one-year-old, and frankly, I still love him. Also, he is the primary wage earner, and I have full responsibility for our baby. He agreed to marriage counseling, but then charmed the counselor and convinced her that I was hormonal and my emotional state and anger were the cause of our problems. Help! Well, thanks for writing in, Angie, and let's see what we can do here. What I'm getting is that you're pretty darned upset and emotionally wrought is probably more accurate about the state of your marriage, or should I say the state of your life. You're married to a guy who doesn't meet your emotional needs, in fact, doesn't seem able to, and you have a one-year-old, and one-year-olds are all-consuming, and you're feeling pretty stuck. So I'm really sorry, Angie, that you aren't getting to fully enjoy this time in life. You really need support and empathy while you give your baby the nurturance, love, and support he or she needs. Right now, you're in a state of burnout. And of course, that doesn't help your ability to think and act clearly. It doesn't help your ability to deal with the relationship issues with your husband. So let me back up a little here and let's get some perspective on what needs to happen in the early stages of a marriage. Couples choose each other and get together for lots of reasons. Often there's pretty strong chemistry and then a familiarity that binds them together. That all couples have to learn to successfully manage negative feelings, particularly negative feelings towards each other, and life problems, such as managing time. As in your case, Angie, does he do things on his own without accountability? You do things together. So managing time, managing money, managing the household. You can have all the chemistry in the world, but if you can't learn to process those two things, negative feelings and problems, it will seriously limit the potential of a relationship. Let's not take lightly the fact that becoming a couple or half of a couple is a personally challenging event in a person's life. When we're single, you know, we've got our quirks and our ways of being in the world, and our way of being in the world, our personalities are simply not challenged. We get away with a lot. Then maybe we've been in some longer-term relationships that ended for the right reasons, such as having significantly different goals or values, or because we or they weren't able to successfully address the two critical issues of managing negative feelings and problems. Coupling requires us to embrace the ideas of learning and growing in a relationship. It offers and it really demands that we engage that process of improving our ability to listen, our ability to empathize, see other points of view, be flexible, improve our ability to manage our emotions. We all have different profiles for dealing with conflict, and we can all get better at it. Simply stated, how do we stay true to ourselves? How do we stay true to our needs and our preferences and yet make room for someone else's seemingly inconsistent needs and preferences? It's kind of like, what's the sound of one hand clapping, isn't it? But if you stay focused on that agenda, you'll have the best hope of creating a smooth way to do exactly that. And once you build it, a way to solve problems and deal with feelings, then it's there for you to enjoy and use throughout a long and satisfying marriage. When couples react negatively to difficult feelings and problems and fight unproductively or withdraw and avoid these areas, well, what's going to happen? They develop what I call, and you may have already heard from me about it, is a negative cycle. And this is where the fighting and the avoidance feed off each other and build so that each person in the relationship, based on their experience, builds a negative view of their partner, and then it encourages their negative behavior, which encourages their partner's negative behavior, and then they end up with a limited relationship or they get divorced. So, Angie, let's decide that you and your husband are at this point in your relationship, caught up in your negative cycle, and now it's vital that you engage learning and growing. Here is how we get ourselves caught up in a negative cycle, and alternatively, how we switch to a learning and growing model, how you get on a healthy path forward. Because if you're not caught up in the negative cycle, then that gives your partner a chance to do some learning and growing himself. So when we're caught up in the negative cycle, we're giving away all our power. We're reacting to what the other person is saying and doing. We're at the effect of the other person. You're experiencing yourself as helpless. So in your case, you get emotional, and then guess what? Your husband sees or maybe even uses your emotionality as validation for his avoidance and his withdrawal. Now let's think about your husband somewhat differently than you currently are, Angie. In your mind, he doesn't care about your feelings. He's a charmer who tries to get everyone to like him, but he doesn't really care. And then he wants others to believe or you to believe that it's all your fault, that you are unreasonable and have unreasonable expectations and you're just an emotional, hormonal creature. Well, let's think about your husband somewhat differently. Let's decide that he is struggling in the relationship in the same way that you are. And he doesn't know what to do. It's likely he never got his own emotional needs met and so doesn't understand yours and why you are so upset. Yes, he charmed the therapist and convinced them that the relationship problems are really about your emotions and hormones. That, of course, is nonsense, but that's what he has learned to do. Deal with his own insecurity by being smart, charming, and convincing, and to see problems as outside of himself. So he's not an introspective kind of guy. Angie, I have no idea if your husband will be willing or able to grow and be an emotionally available partner to you. But let's assume he can. And let's assume he wants to. After all, he did agree to go to counseling. But the only way you're going to find out, the only way you're going to get his best is to, number one, assume the positive, that he loves you and wants to meet your needs and that he can and will learn and grow. And number two is you're going to need to take an emotionally empowered position in the relationship. What would an emotionally empowered position in the relationship look like? Well, let's start with burnout recovery. Get support. Get some child care. Get some time off. Get some social support. Friends, family, it doesn't matter. We don't want any talking down about your husband. Just support for you. Also, get some me time. Just some time for you to do something that's just pleasurable for you to do. I don't know what hobbies or interests you have, whether you just need to go for a long walk in the woods, whatever, but you need some me time. And an empowered position invites you to set limits in positive ways. When he says things like, "You don't like who I am," you can respond with empathy and limits. For instance, I hear, so this is you talking, I hear that when I ask you for some specific things, that it makes you feel that I don't like who you are, and that must feel terrible to think that. In fact, I like you and I love you very much, sometimes more than others, but I love you. And yet, please, don't make assumptions about what I think and feel. You can ask, and I'll be happy to tell you. You can go on. Please don't tell me I can't be satisfied. That's a judgment, and I don't want or need that kind of criticism. I do need support, and if you can support me by taking over the baby or giving me some TLC, that would be fabulous. If you can't, just own it, and don't make my needs a bad thing. See what we're doing here, Angie? It often feels that in a learning and growing relationship, that we're the ones who has to be strong, has to be the adult in the room. But don't shy away from that. The alternative is to jump into your negative cycle. And besides, when you ask more of yourself, whether your partner comes along with you or not, or if they come along, but come along slowly, you are still doing your own work. You're still doing your own growing. You're empowering yourself, taking things less personally, being more mature, you're even being more spiritual. So then, once you're on a healthy path forward and you're not overreacting and are using your mature self to set limits, clarify your needs, and appreciate and show empathy for your partner's feelings and needs, then you'll be able to see if your partner and you have the potential for a growing relationship. You know, it is a positive sign that your husband did agree to go to marriage counseling. Maybe the counselor would be able to get on the right track for both of you, or maybe you need a more experienced marriage counselor. But counseling is a good thing if it can help the two of you get off of whose fault things are and how to manage feelings and problems as a couple. So listeners, yes, being a marriage partner ain't easy. Marriage isn't for sissies, but if you take an empowered position, accept the challenge of learning and growing, and build the skills for dealing with challenging feelings and problems, the rewards are amazing. Thanks for tuning in today, listeners, and thanks in particular to Angie from Roseville, California. And please remember to take care of yourselves. You need it. You deserve it. You're worth it. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Healthy Family Connections with Neil D. Brown. If you have a question you'd like answered, head over to neildbrown.com/submit and enter your question for Neil there. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his weekly offering. You may want to pick up a copy of Ending the Parenting Control Battle at your favorite bookstore or online retailer. Join us again for the Healthy Family Connections podcast.